Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome back to the Worcester Nazarene podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for yet another edition. I am Pastor Andrew here with Pastor Joel today.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I forget how many times this is, but it's almost like I'm a regular guest now.
I'm losing track at this point, so
yeah,
kind of a big
deal. But you've
been
on a whole lot more than me.
Well, recently that has been true from one way or the other. But we're going to do a little bit of recapping from your message this last Sunday on winning faith. I believe that was number 5 in our series on living well, I think.
I'm not going to.
Pastor was trying to figure this out going into second service yesterday and asking you, and or on Sunday when we did that. So, but we're going to jump right in. And one of the things that caught my attention at the beginning of your message, you caught all of our attention by putting it up on the screen, but you were sharing about your experience with Monopoly and winning.
One of the greatest games ever.
No, it's not, first of all.
Yes,
but we were talking a little bit yesterday. I would love to hear a little bit more of like, how did you always win at Monopoly? Like, did you have like a specific strategy that you would go after?
Well, for me, the ultimate strategy, I mean, everybody wants Boardwalk and Park Place, of course.
Sure.
But for me, and it didn't always happen, but I always went for Amen Corner. I went for the yellows and the greens. So you got Marvin Gardner's Vintner and Atlantic, and then green is Pacific, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania.
You can't not have a sports reference in something. The Amen Corner.
I'm sorry,
I love
Amen
it.
Corner. Yes.
The Masters.
So we've got that at Augusta, of course, but we've also have it on the Monopoly board. But if you can get that corner right there, you pretty well got things.
It's almost
well
a guarantee that somebody's landing somewhere on that corner.
Yes.
Or they're going to land on the free parking, which I think is over
that
there.
That is not a rule, by the way. If you put money in the middle of the board, like when you pay taxes, and then when whoever lands on free parking gets that money, you're playing the game incorrectly.
I think there's a lot of ways people play Monopoly incorrectly.
There are.
There's so many. I personally do not love Monopoly. I know you don't play a lot around your house.
Why am
anymore.
I on this podcast
I don't
with you
know.
Then?
We can be done. That's fine.
Amen.
Amen.
See you later.
Come back next week. No, last night, I think I reached a new level of nerdiness the last few days. I've been playing a board game that's like specifically made to play by yourself, like a solo board game. And my wife has observed me doing this, and she's like, you can't get any more nerdy than you already are, but this is the top end level.
I'm not going to say that because there's probably other people out there that do the same thing. And so like,
I'm not sure if I'm asking for prayer or somebody to come play board games with me. I don't know what I'm asking for, but that's just my reality.
Help or friends, one or the other.
Maybe some of both would be great. But thinking about this idea of winning and winning faith, one of the things I was wondering for you personally over your faith journey, you kind of talked about how you said yes to Jesus a little bit through the Easter ministry in the course of your message on Sunday, but can you identify one or two or a handful of spiritual faith wins that you've had over the journey of your walk with Jesus, times that were just like really significant?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, and hopefully for all of us, salvation is the biggest win. And so having that encounter with Christ, saying yes to him, truly stepping into that relationship with him, and even thinking about his prevenient grace that goes before, that's the grace that goes before. And for us, even moving back from North Carolina, in our minds, because of family wanting to be around them, and that is the case and was the case, and it was a great thing. But really seeing God's hand in that us coming back led us to the jobs we were at, which led us to invitations to come here, which led us to stepping into that relationship with Jesus and salvation. So, that's obviously the biggest win, and that our.
I love that the way you describe it. It's like following the prevenient grace trail backwards to see like how the Lord was setting these things in motion before it was ever even in your mind. He was working on your behalf.
No.
Like that's how He works.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the wins. So, my personal salvation, my family, that my kids know and love Jesus. I mean, that's so huge. It's everything. And but even part of my testimony, many have heard. You know, being a lover of money. And God really freeing me from that. Mm-hmm. But if you trace that prevenient grace trail backwards, and in North Carolina, when we made the decision to move home and letting my boss know, hey, you know, we made this decision. And she literally said, what would it take to keep you here? And I just said, well, it's really not about the money.
Wow.
You know, and I've joked about, like, you know, I went outside and punched myself in the face after I told her that, but what did I just do? But even, but seeing that, you know, God was working back then,
yeah,
because at that point was still very much chasing the money and the positions and the titles and all that. So, so those are, some big wins, you know, God, delivering me from that love of money was a big one, but also this may sound weird to some people, but I mentioned on Sunday about, our struggle with infertility for a few years, but it was actually during that period when we were trying to have kids and struggling with that and walking through that, that difficult time. Honestly, that was probably the greatest period of spiritual growth in my life. Mm. And would not have happened had we not been walking through that, that season. And
not that,
that
you ever wanted to go through that.
And, you know, I think we could probably all look at that in our lives. And that's why testimonies are so powerful, because they're usually, because we walk through a valley, God was faithful to walk through it with us, bring us through that time. And we can look back and see, you know, not that he caused it, but what did he teach us?
Right.
Maybe he had something better in store for us, whatever it might be. So that was another win, just the growth that he allowed for me. And I don't want to speak for Lisa, my wife, but I think she would say that was a significant time for spiritual growth for her as well.
And it's like, you know, a lot of people know who Forrest Frank is, and that phrase, like, your way's better, that's something he repeats in one of his songs, and like that sings really well. But when you can actually see that lived out in your own life and really mean that, when you experience those things, like that's just another, it is a spiritual win, it's a faith win, but it's also a new depth of maturity in your walk as well. Like, that's kind of the palms up thing we talk about, like when we're going to go into this series about the Lord's Prayer, like thy will be done, all of that is within that of like, okay, Lord, I submit, I yield, your way is better.
Right. And the tough part is, I'm not gonna say for everybody and all the time, but oftentimes it's not till we're through it that we can look back and say, oh, your way was better, Lord. But as we're facing things, or as we're trying to work through things or discern what he wants for us, it's not always that easy to say or to see that his way is better.
And the Lord has grace for that too. Like he knows we're humans. Yeah. And he wants us to come to us wherever we're at. He can handle all of it.
Absolutely.
Across the board.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing those things. It's really good. I can think of so many different ways following. I love that idea of following the grace trail backwards through your life and seeing how the Lord has set those things in motion.
And the more we do that, I think the more that gives us confidence to trust him moving forward too. Yeah. Like, you know, this song we say he's never failed me. And he's not going to. But so reliving those and just walking back through those just helps to bring encouragement.
I'm thinking of so many songs. You can do it again. Yeah. I'm confident your faithfulness will see me through. Like just speaking that truth over our lives.
Can you sing those? Why don't you sing those for us?
Technically I could, but I'm going to choose to not do that right now.
We'd have to pay royalties or we'd probably get cut off or something. Yeah.
No, I could sing it bad enough that it wouldn't take a royalty, trust me. You went on and you were talking about, you said this phrase of how God's word trumps everything. And we very firmly believe that here at Worcester Naz, our foundational value is truth. But I wanted to read this verse and talk about this a little bit. This was 1 John 5:4-5 that you read for us on Sunday out of the ESV. It says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So like when you like read that verse and you say God's word, God's truth, Jesus trumps everything. How does that really get lived out in the midst of 2026 culture, pressures, real life? Like, are there any thoughts you have about that?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, one of the things I think about is that, you know, when I say God's word trumps everything, like it trumps our feelings. Mm. It trumps current trends or current fads. It trumps what our best friend says, trumps what our family, you know, because like it or not, those things don't always line up with God's word. Our feelings can betray us. People that even have our, you know, that think they have our best interests in mind, we're fallible. We're not perfect. And so people can lead us astray. And so God's word needs to trump everything else. And we're so blessed to have God's word so readily available all the time. But in today's society, in today's culture, I mean, there's the blatant, just people that don't believe in God's word at all, don't believe in Jesus, all that. But I think what can be even more dangerous is those that do believe or claim to believe in Jesus, but yet twist the truth, twist God's word, and can lead people down the wrong path. And, you know, that's what John was dealing with back then, the Gnostics that were trying to twist things a little bit around and lead people astray. And I think that can, I don't know if it's right to say it's even more dangerous than those that are just saying Jesus isn't real at all. But, but that's why we've got to have God's word. We've got to have truth in us so that as those things come at us from culture, we're poised to stand and fight.
And it's so true, especially in the church and in some like church circles. I'm not going to say any specific denominations or whatever, but it's something to guard against, because like people can get passionate. They can get on board with whatever somebody says. And I always encourage people, like, let's go back to the word. If this isn't in the Bible, then it's not the truth. And we go as far to say, like, if it's Jesus plus anything, that is not the gospel. Like, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. It wasn't through any other 10 steps or this type of the way you do life or ministry. Like, no, this is the simplicity and the beauty of the gospel. And if we start adding things, and Revelation goes as far as say, is taking things away from what's written in this book, then that is outside of the truth.
Right. And so often I think people, I don't even know necessarily people like purposely want to deceive others, but because we are a fallen people, because we sin, because we want what we want, it can be easy to look at God's word and twist it to fit how we feel, what we want to happen, that type of thing. Instead of, you know, I've heard it said, instead of changing our lives to fit scripture, we change scripture to fit our lives.
Yep.
And so, yeah, God's word trumps everything. And
it's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
It does not change. I love when you talked about, it's kind of a tricky passage, that the next section where you preach to, about the testimony of the blood and the spirit and the water, right? Those are the three, maybe not in that exact order. I didn't pull the exact verse, but just that idea of like, that's the testimony of Jesus. That's the testimony of the gospel. But something we talk about in basics is like the significance of our own personal testimony, which you shared some of that Sunday morning, the story about infertility. And when you said yes to Jesus, but like, why is our personal testimony so important?
Well, the reality is that hopefully nobody can talk you out of your own testimony. Mm. You know, we could talk scripture with somebody and somebody might try and twist it or turn it or try and talk you out of it or convince you it's not real, that type of thing. But when you've experienced something and you've experienced how Jesus has worked in and through that, people can't talk you out of that. Yeah. And so it's powerful when we deliver testimony because it is personal, because it is real, because it's my story. I can deliver it with confidence and with power and conviction, because it's mine and because nobody can deny it or talk me out of it.
The three things that we pull out in basics are, it's authentic. It was what you were just saying, like, it's your story.
Yeah.
It connects. It gives people this understanding of like, this is who I was before Jesus. And they see you now living for Jesus after that Y2J moment. Like, this is who I am now because of Jesus. And it also provides this opportunity to speak truth into somebody's life. Just today with the Route 56 kids, I got to hang out with them during the Women's Summer Bible Study. And the big idea for them today was Jesus sends me. And it was, they talked about the woman at the well, about how Jesus went to her right where she was. He never should have been there according to culture.
Right.
But he went and he shared the truth with her, and how we all have that same call to go and preach the gospel. But so much of that preaching the gospel, I think we've maybe gotten it a little twisted sometimes of like, you have to read these seven verses and then you're saved. But just sharing the reality and the authenticness of your own personal testimony, having those types of conversations with people can really lead to those gospel conversations.
Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why relationships are so vital. We talk about that here, you know, relationship with the Lord, but with others. And as we develop relationships with others, we get those opportunities to share our testimonies. Yeah. And, you know, God never wastes the hurt. I'm using so many Christianese types of sayings, but
it's true though.
But if we'll allow him, those things we've gone through become a testimony, and, and we get to share them and we get to encourage others. We get to bring hope to others. When we talk about what we went through and we're on the other side and, you know, talking about how God was faithful and he's the one that gave us the victory. Well, if that could happen for me, if God can do that for me, why not for somebody else who's listening and hearing that testimony? So.
And it's for everybody. Yeah. I reminded I probably told them for the first time, our fifth and sixth graders this morning that were there, Pastor Wendell, our district superintendent last year at our family camp and camp meeting, had this really big emphasis on who's your one, like who is right. that one person that you're praying for? Who's that one person that you're sharing the reality of your testimony and living life out with, like all the way down to our kids, like they have those yeah. opportunities, but are we actually doing that?
Right.
Are we
right.
actually living that out and not just... This is something I've maybe been harping on lately, but I just think it's so important that we as the church, not just you and me as the pastors,
right,
but we
right.
as the church, as the people of God, not just the people of Worcester Nazarene, as the people of God are having these real, genuine relational connections that lead to these gospel conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Bible is very clear that we're to be prepared at any time and right. every season to give a reason for the hope that we have. And, you know, it's all about Jesus and about what he's done for us. And so always being ready for those out there that maybe you've not spoken of your testimony or you've not told your story to other people. I'd encourage you to practice it, write it down,
yeah.
talk with somebody else about it so that you are confident. Then when those opportunities come, we're not double clutching and kind of checking ourselves because we're not quite sure about how to deliver it. But we just trust the Lord and just go for it and share your story and let somebody be encouraged. Let somebody have some hope.
And then help. You can even begin to help those people follow the grace trail in their own yeah, life back yeah. to see like, man, this is how God has been going after you. Like all of those Absolutely. Things can happen.
Absolutely.
It's so good. It's so powerful when we all do that together. Last thing I want to hit on here, and we have a few minutes left here to chat about this, the wrap up of your section from Sunday, this John 14:26 from the ESV again says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, which we know on this side of Pentecost that we have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When we say yes to Jesus, we're adopted, regenerated, justified. We receive the Holy Spirit in that moment of salvation.
It's a good use of those big words.
Thank
good
you. I went through all those classes for a reason.
Well done.
Whom the Father will send in my name. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. He will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And I think I just was curious some of your thoughts about how can we more and more, like we sing the song, another song reference, like let us become more aware of your presence. How can we, first of all, maybe be more aware of the Holy Spirit, but then learning to rely on him? Mm-hmm. What does that look like in yeah. a day-to-day?
Well, for me, probably learning to rely on him has come as a result of failures through relying on myself. You know, a lot of us learn through mistakes and yeah. trial and error, and, you know, our kids are grown and getting ready to head on out to new adventures. But even as you, that's one of the tough things as a parent, you know, of kids as they get into teen and adulthood, is letting them step out into things and make their own decisions. And sometimes there's failure, and yeah. failure can be a great teacher.
For sure.
And so, that's probably one of the things is for me is because knucklehead, I try and do it on my own strength and just be futile and realize, no, I need to be pressing into the Lord, pressing into and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct me. And I was just talking with someone the other day about that's easy to preach about following the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not always the easiest. It's not always the clearest.
For sure.
But the more we press in and the more we pursue him and we're in his word, I think the clearer that voice becomes and how the Lord might lead and guide and direct us. But I wish there was a formula for it, but it really is just continuing to pursue him and trusting him.
And I feel like so much of this falls into just the genius of what the Lord gave us 10 years ago through even our mission at Worcester Nazarene, loving God, loving people, living transformed. We do that by gathering, linking, and thriving. Like mm-hmm. this living transformed, palms up, fully surrendered, thriving life, like life to the fullest, that John 10:10 verse. Like all of this is what we're talking, like that learning how to live that out and relying on the Holy Spirit and learning that you can trust him. Like even in the way we make this, it's right here, like this perpetual motion, like, okay, I know that God is good and I've seen him in my life, again, following the grace trail. Well, I trust him even more now and I love people even more and I'm being transformed even more. Mm-hmm. It's this continual ongoing process.
Right.
While we're here on this side of heaven.
Right, right. And even as we're doing our best to follow the Holy Spirit and his leading and his guiding, we're not always going to get it right. But I believe God's got grace to cover that. And I believe he's got grace to teach us and help us to learn. And hopefully as we grow and mature in our faith, we're able to sense his leading and guiding better and better as we're being transformed. But just to know too that... we can go after him and we don't have to fear the failure. We don't have to fear, live all anxious that we're not getting it right. Just do our best to follow him and trust that he'll do the rest.
I often say to people, what's the next right thing? Because when we think about the whole thing, it can be overwhelming. Right. Then we do nothing. Right. I've done that with lots of things in my life before. Like eating healthy is on the top of that list, Pastor Joel. But just like, what's the next right thing? What's the next step of obedience? And go palms up and trust that the Lord is going to walk with you every step of the way.
Absolutely.
That's so good. Thanks for sharing with us. Thanks for Sunday. I'm looking forward to preaching in a couple weeks for the wrap up of 3 John. Pastor will be on this Sunday, preaching the second to last one of this series. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. We love that you're listening, and we love to hear even feedback of things that you're getting out of this. We do hear that in some context. So thanks for joining us. We love you a whole lot, and we'll see you real soon.
Take care.